Immunizations are speeding towards approval before clinical trials end, but scientists say this could complicate efforts to study long-term effects. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by David Sironowski, writer. This article is published under the heading, Why Emergency COVID Vaccine Approvals Pose a Dilemma for Scientists. Here's the details of this article. After a flurry of positive results from clinical trials of COVID-19 vaccines, developers are now seeking emergency use approvals, which could see these immunizations deployed in potentially tens of millions of people. But scientists are now concerned that this kind of early deployment could compromise the ongoing clinical trials that seek to show conclusively how well the vaccines work. Following the release of early data from Phase 3 trials on November 9th, some vaccine makers have sought regulatory permission to deploy their vaccine under emergency use rules. The developer of other leading vaccines is expected to do the same within weeks. Once a vaccine is granted emergency approval, there is pressure on developers to offer the immunization to trial participants who received a placebo. But if too many people cross over the vaccine group, the companies might not have enough data to establish long-term outcomes such as safety, how long vaccine protection lasts, and whether the jab prevents infection or just the disease. It's a real vaccine development dilemma, says Klaus Storr, who formerly headed vaccine design at the pharmaceutical company Novartis at Cambridge, Massachusetts, and is now retired. Still, Storr thinks that the vaccine should be granted emergency use authorization because its effectiveness has been established and there is a dire need. Such competition between a clinical trial for a vaccine and emergency use of it is new for vaccine development. Only this month, the World Health Organization approved the first ever emergency use for an immunization still being tested against a type of poliovirus that is spreading in the Southern Hemisphere. But Phase 3 trials for that jab have not yet begun. The FDA announced that its Vaccine Advisory Committee will meet on December 10th. The committee will assess the company's data and decide whether the vaccines are safe and effective enough for restricted use. Many researchers expect that the authorizations will be granted. Once a vaccine is approved, a committee of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, Georgia, will determine which groups should be first in line for vaccination. The panel is considering high-risk groups, such as elderly people, those with diseases such as diabetes that make them more susceptible to COVID-19, and healthcare workers. Early use of the vaccines in high-risk groups will almost certainly save lives, says Jeremy Kim, Director General of the International Vaccine Institute in Seoul. The vaccines have been tested for only a couple months, however, so it is too early to know how long they will be effective for, he says. There are ways of managing such disruptions without jeopardizing the trial outcome, says Kathleen Nozell, director of the Center for Vaccine Development and Global Health at the University of Maryland in Baltimore. She's also co-chair of the U.S. National Institute of Health COVID-19 Prevention Trials Network, which arranges clinical trials for companies Participants who initially received a placebo but crossed over to get the vaccine could be monitored as a separate group, and a comparison of the vaccine's long-term efficacy and safety could be made between those groups, she says. Nozil used a similar setup to determine the length of protection offered by the first shingles vaccine. Before unblinding the trials, the companies could also ask volunteers to remain in the study and receive the vaccination as soon as the trial is over, says a scientist. Christian Smers from Houston, Texas, a participant in the trial, told Nature that he understands the importance of the placebo group for further testing and would consider staying in the trial. Companies and regulators should also gather safety and efficacy data on people in the high-risk groups who purchase the vaccines, says Eng Oi, an infectious disease researcher at Duke and U.S. Medical School in Singapore. But such data can be biased because they cannot be compared with data from a control group, says Oi. However, they can still provide useful insights into safety and efficacy, he says. We cannot have the best of both worlds. The world is in need of what we have now, he says. Nevertheless, once a COVID-19 vaccine receives emergency authorization, trials of subsequent vaccines will become more complicated, says Oi, who is developing a vaccine that is in early trials. Companies starting new trials will have to show that their vaccines are better than those granted emergency approval, making trials more expensive. Any vaccine approved, even if only for emergency use, will change the landscape of how vaccines get into the market, he says.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is Viewpoints coming to you from IRIB English Radio.
You're the reason my life's worth living. You're the reason I'm alive. I'd be lost without you. You're the reason that I strive. You're my destiny.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm your host, Muzaffar Haider. Here in the studio, we have with us Sayyid Mahdi and Sheikh Ali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
To both of you. Now, we started off talking about how the Arab nations have actually, unfortunately, normalized ties with the Zionist entity of Israel. And we talked about how they have no honor. They've completely embraced dhilla and dishonor and
humiliation.
You know, humiliation, and they've completely...
Disgrace.
They are disgraceful, actually. I wanted to ask, and I wanted to take this to Sheikh Ali to begin with, about why the people... when you find out that the leader of your country has normalized ties with the great Satan, not only the great Satan, but the puppet state of the great Satan, would you not rise up? Would you not go and brick their, governmental buildings and, dethrone them? What's going on here?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Good question, and I think it is a very relevant question that pops up in every other person's mind when they see how things are going with the Zionist regime. When you look at, again, the history of this region, there were many movements that started against the inception of the Zionist regime. There were battles that were fought. There were political pressures that were exerted. But America and its arrogant, the front of the arrogant powers, it pushed it so hard that these Arab countries, they had to back down. Their dictators were either bought, or if they did not agree with the stance of the United States, they were killed.
That is
right.
So sad when you
now,
think about it.
I mean, new dictators.
They've been fighting all this time, or they did try to fight, but now they've kind of gotten tired because of it.
Well, it's still there, and this is what I'm going to get to. These dictators, they were replaced with the ones who are subservient and who submit to the will of the United States of America and its cohorts. Now, these countries, when they're led by these dictators, naturally, the general population that is anti-Israel, whenever they try to do something, they get suppressed. They get thrown into jails. They get, it's very suffocating for those who know a little bit about, this area, this region called Middle East, in reality, it's the West Asian region. If you look at this entire region and all these Arab dictatorships, one thing is consistent, and it's a common denominator between all of these, small little UAE and Qatar and Bahrain and these places, right, including Saudi Arabia. And that is that if you are an opponent, you're going to be dealt with a iron fist.
Iron fist, right.
So they're either thrown in jails, they're deprived of their basic human rights, or they're even killed.
Tortured.
Right? They're tortured. Their families are tortured, right? Under this whole environment of suffocation, how can you imagine there to be a public uprising, right? Yet, when it comes to those noble, Arabs who are living in that region, I can assure you, you go just, do a survey. If they trust you, unless they doubt your intention that you are an agent, because that's another thing they do. When I went for Hajj, I experienced that.
Wow.
I talked to the taxi drivers and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Although my Arabic was like really weak, but I was able to communicate with them somehow. One thing that was consistent was, they wanted to make sure who you are before they open up their mouth.
Wow.
The fear factor was so obvious.
Right.
Back in the day, you ask them, so how is King Abdullah, They wouldn't say a word. They're like, nope, I'm going to zip up. And they're like, no, this is not the right question. Don't ask this question.
Right. Right.
Well, they're not free to express their opinion about their leader. This is how bad things were.
Man,
and this is like, eight to 10 years ago I'm talking about.
And now it
must kept
be
getting worse.
Right.
Right now, if you look at UAE, just this last week or so, they captivated and captured and actually 250 people disappeared.
250 people disappeared. Wow.
There is no police complaint. There's no case. Mm-hmm. They're not being brought to trial.
They just got picked up.
They just disappeared.
They got picked up and they just vanished.
By
they
the
vanished.
Agencies, yeah, right? This is, you know, the situation of UAE just a week ago. You can easily go and search online. So this is the environment. So how can you have a public mobilization? How can you have, like, and this is precisely why they have created this environment, mm-hmm. right? For the revolutionaries, for those who are anti-Israel, who are anti-America, who are anti this whole Zionist and imperialist bloc, right? But when you look at the sentiments of these people, they testify that they hate the Zionist regime mm-hmm. because they consider it, it's not just an emotional thing, no, they consider it to be illegal. They consider it to be illegitimate. They don't give it the right to exist, right? Why? Because it was just built on top of the dead bodies of hundreds and thousands of Palestinians,
yeah.
the natives of that land, let it be Muslims, Christians, or Jewish people, mm-hmm. right? These ruthless Zionists and imperialists, that's what they did. So, you know, given the situation, the public is completely on the other side of the balance when it comes to their leadership.
So now I'm confused here because we're talking about why there hasn't been an uprising. I mean, the Shah existed in Iran, right? And the people right. rose up and threw him out, essentially.
Right.
So
right.
why couldn't they do that?
Well, this is precisely, it's a good comparison to draw and a good case study to actually analyze and evaluate.
One because of the surely, things, I just want to point this out, the atmosphere was just as suffocating
correct,
over
correct.
Here. People wouldn't yeah. be able to...
Saddam was yeah. like that, Shah of Iran was like that. You know, all of these dictators, they have the same SOP, so to speak, right? Mm. They do similar things because they have been trained by the U.S.
Sorry,
right?
SOP?
The standard operating procedure. Right?
But one thing that the Iranians did was that they clinged on to Islam, right? They made sure that they don't let Islam go from their hands. They don't let Imam Hussein go off their hands, right? They made sure that they keep drawing these lessons from the lives of our Imams and Quran, right? This thing, and there were many sacrifices done and given, right? So it's easier said than done. There were many sacrifices who we don't even know about.
And of course, some of it has to come down to the leadership as well.
That's where it, mm-hmm. it is going, right? Mm-hmm. So all of those sacrifices, all of that rebellion, all of that resistance that you had but still were not successful in overthrowing your dictator leadership,
right.
you got to a point yeah. where the people were equipped enough. And there was that divine leader in the form and shape of Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah Ta'ala
alayhi. I have to apologize to Sheikh Ali because I always interject and then say the kind of the end result of your thought process before you say it.
That's fine.
I can't help it though. This subject is really
We're trying to, you know, take people so people can actually think. We're not going to give them, you know, a cooked meal, right? This is the idea behind our discussions, that we give you thoughts, train of thoughts, and then you build on that and get to the conclusions yourself. So I'm happy that you're actually picking up the drift. It's
Ahsan,
good.
Jazakallah. Sid Mahdi.
Yes.
How are you doing over there?
I'm doing all right, alhamdulillah.
What is your opinion on all this? The idea of uprising? Why? We did see kind of the Islamic awakening, but then it kind of just fizzled out.
Right. I just wanted to bring up one of the points that Sheikh Ali had brought up, because there's quite a few things going on at the same time. One is this fact about, you know, we had talked in one of the previous programs how the United States has humiliated, you know, for example, case in point, the Saudi regime,
yeah.
right? So calling them the milking cow, this yeah. is what we had brought up. So the United States has humiliated Saudi Arabia. So here the American government, right, is openly humiliating the Saudis, and then the Saudis just kind of smile and accept that humiliation. Yes, you know, we are willing to be humiliated by this, you know, this foreign power. Now, I want to connect that with what the Sheikh said today when he talked about in these Arab regimes and in these Arab countries under these Arab regimes, you find that he talked about torture, he talked about human rights abuses, he talked about the lack of basic freedoms, whether it's freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom, you know, to be able to voice your concerns, freedom of self-determination, right? People are being imprisoned, they're being beheaded, they're being kidnapped under these regimes, okay? Now, here I want to say that this is a reciprocal situation, right? The West, who claims to be this human rights defender, who claims to be this, you know, I fight for freedom and democracy across the world. You have just been humiliated by the actions of every single one of these Arab regimes who do the opposite of what you claim to protect. Uh-huh. And in this humiliation, the Americans just sit there and they smile and they let themselves be humiliated. Uh-huh. Right? These are really important realities about the world we live in. You know,
this is yeah. because they don't believe in those principles.
Exactly,
they
deep
just,
down inside,
it's just lip service, right? Mm. Freedom,
is,
freedom of speech, freedom
the,
of expression, yeah. This freedom, that freedom, basic human rights. It's all just lip service, right?
People
it's
need
all
to
hypocrisy.
Wake up to this. Yeah.
If you look at the United States of America, it actually supports, officially supports, all the dictatorships in the entire world. Mm. All the dictatorships that are, of course, in the brackets, subservient to the U.S.
Mm. Yeah.
They support them without any exception. Well, hang on one second. You are proposing democracy for the world. Whatever the definition of democracy is, whether democracy is good or bad, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
I'm saying you are a proponent of democracy in the world, yet it happens to be that you end up supporting every single dictatorship that's subservient to you. Isn't it flat-out hypocrisy?
Yeah.
This is what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
We're dealing with a bunch of liars.
It reminds
cheaters,
me of the
corrupt
CIA,
people and leaders.
The CIA coup of Mossadegh in this
yeah,
country, in
yeah.
Iran.
It was you know, not the best of the people. Mm. You know, we don't really cherish Mossadegh. But at the end of the day, if you look at Mossadegh, he was loyal to his nation.
Mm.
And he was nominated by the people of Iran.
Yeah.
CIA overthrew him.
See, the idea, some people still come and say, you know, democracy, we need democracy, even if it's secular, you know, that's what will actually help it. Iran did do that.
Exactly.
And it was overthrown by America.
Look at the system of Wilayat al-Faqih. How many people, Iranians, they supported that system? 98%.
Yeah.
They came out, they supported that system. Yeah. They wanted that system to be implemented in their country and to rule over them.
But
whether the system is good or bad, we don't care. It's the choice of the people, right? At least honor and respect the choice of the people. But
no,
West is full of hypocrisy. That's what it is.
See, okay, now, here's a question for you, Sheikh, and for Sayed, whoever can answer it, actually. Okay, so they tried the secular kind of democracy in Iran. It didn't work. It got overthrown. Today, alhamdulillah, we're 41 years into the Islamic revolution. Islam, pure Muhammadan Islam particularly, has this strength and this ethos to fight back against the domination of the West and America, right? Why hasn't the rest of the Arab world done that? Like, what's happened? Why was only one nation able to do that and the other nations weren't able to?
Yeah, I mean,
And it's not that, you know, they've just steadily just stayed, you know, on the border or, you know, they're neither here. No, now they're normalizing ties with Israel. They've gotten worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just do a little intro and then I'll hand it over to Sheikh Ali to kind of finalize and give us a good overall conclusion on this. And of course, some of these things you have to realize that, you know, 5-10 minutes of discussion isn't really enough to be able to cover all the variables that are at play, right? There's multiple things that, you know, sometimes are a catalyst to a certain aspect. The thing that first and foremost comes to my mind on this issue, you know, is that the interpretation of Islam in these places which haven't risen is the incorrect interpretation of Islam, right? So it's like this Zarbul Masal, this example or this, saying, whatever it is that's called in English, right? If the first brick put down, right? If the first brick on a wall foundation is laid down and if you build a wall upon a brick which is
foundation.
which is not placed correctly, the rest of the building as it moves up will start to slant sideways, right? So the Leaning Tower of Pisa, for example, right? So here, the wrong interpretation of Islam, what it has done, it has resulted in wrong conclusions,
right?
So you have, for example, right? So the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, constantly talks about American CIA Sunnis and British MI6 Shias.
Mm.
These are misinterpretations. These are corruptions of the faith, right? Islam in order to achieve certain goals. Now, the Islamic Revolution of Iran, they had the correct leadership, they had the correct interpretation of Islam, and what this did was it resulted in a good and beautiful result, which was the Islamic Revolution of Iran.
Sheikh Ali.
So this whole concept of, you know, we'll stick to this one dimension that Sayyid has brought up. You know, having that correct interpretation of Islam is important for any revolution, right? And alongside with that interpretation, you have to have that divine leader. And when we say divine, you know, we're not saying that, you know, he's not born, he just, you know, descends from sky. No, divine means somebody who practices and believes in those divine values of Islam, and, you know, it's part and parcel of his personality. You know, these two things, when they're side by side, you know, it actually brings about that revolution, which we are, inshallah, hopeful that will happen in these regions where there are dictators. Just last point, really quickly, I want to make. Before we brought up Sayyid Abdul Malik al-Houthi from Yemen, and now we're going to talk about Sheikh Isa Qasim from Bahrain. Mm-hmm. He has actually condemned and denounced this normalization effort as well. He said, yesterday it was the UAE, today it is Bahrain, and tomorrow it will be third and fourth country in the dirty swamp of normalization, and it's a greater sin. And the reason for this normalization is that there is a great division between the rulers and the ruled in terms of thought, temperament, purpose, and interest. And there is a psychological defeat that these governments are living with, and they want to impose this psychological defeat upon the people. And it is the duty of the people to oppose this feeling of defeat.
That's all we have time for today. Inshallah, we'll see you next time. Visit our website at parstoday.com and then follow the tab on the top right corner, Call of Islam Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. You can log on to our website at parstoday.com, and you can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, goodbye.
A symphony of nature. It's taken my breath away. I'm so blessed out here today. Yeah, Allah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and today as Food for Thought we present you a mind-stimulating passage from the Ziyara, or standard form of salutation, for Hazrat Fatima Ma'sumah, peace be upon her, the sister of the Holy Prophet's eighth infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him. Peace upon you, and may God ensure cognition between us and you in paradise. Raise us on the day of resurrection in your company. Bring us to your Prophet's fountain of Kothar, and quench our thirst through the goblet of your ancestor by the hand of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Peace be upon him.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran
via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kHz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kHz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
The article you're about to hear under the heading Good Signs India and Brazil to be Buddies with China Again has been authored by Ken Merck, who has taught economic theory and public policy at university level for 33 years. Stay with us to learn more about his views. The BRICS summit hosted by Russia very recently appeared to be on the right track for boosting cooperation among the world's largest emerging economies. Each of the leaders of the five countries, including Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, seemed to express a strong desire to work together on tracking such fields as the economy, the COVID-19 pandemic, terrorism, and other issues of mutual concern, as reflected in the Moscow Declaration, the official document listing the leaders' pledges. All five leaders, for example, vowed to collaborate on developing and producing a COVID vaccine. So what should the world take out of such an approach at the BRICS summit? The world should rejoice because such a meeting of minds would be good not only for the BRICS states themselves, but for the world at large, economically and geopolitically. Increased inter-BRICS trade and investment would spur international trade, reversing the pandemic-induced world recession. Cooperation between India and China would strengthen global security in the Asia-Pacific region and beyond. One could suggest that BRICS is a marriage made in heaven, as its members could help one another realize their economic and geopolitical potential. The economies of China and other four members are highly complementary. Brazil's, Russia's, South Africa's, and to some extent India's resources fueled China's manufacturing prowess. In turn, Chinese technology and funding jump-started economic development in Russia, Brazil, and South Africa. Chinese investment in India's technology upstarts and low-priced exports played no small role in enhancing the latter's economic growth. Indeed, it was China's buying of and investing in the resource and other industrial sectors that made BRICS what it is today, surpassing the group of seven countries in economic size. According to International Monetary Fund, the combined gross domestic product of the BRICS states in 2018 was $46.1 trillion, whereas that of G7 was $41.1 trillion in purchasing power parity terms. Since the G7 economies are already developed, there is little room for expansion. The five BRICS countries, including China, on the other hand, still have considerable room for economic growth. China's private consumption as a percentage of GDP was only 40% in 2018, as compared with the G7's 70%. Designating consumption as the engine of growth in China's 14th five-year plan should result in high growth rates over the period because of the country's 1.4 billion population, between 400 million and 500 million of whom are classified as middle class. In addition, the government plans to spend hundreds of billions of dollars on infrastructure and housing construction, connecting new and existing cities. Massive domestic demand in China could offer the other BRICS states huge export opportunities, particularly after China's relations with Western resource-based economies such as Australia and Canada soured. Russia, Brazil, and South Africa could replace those two Western countries as China's major suppliers of oil, natural gas, iron ore, and other commodities over the next 5 years and beyond. Indeed, resetting their relationship with China would be in the best interest of India and Brazil because it will be the only economy that is expected to enjoy positive growth in 2020 and relatively high annual rates of around 5% over the next 5 years, thanks to the government's quick and effective measures in preventing the spread of the pandemic that has allowed Beijing to reopen the economy sooner than any other major economy. The pandemic in the European Union, the UK, and the US, in fact, is surging, forcing more lockdowns and exacerbating economic woes. U.S. President Donald Trump refusing to concede this month's election and politicizing the pandemic in the U.S. could spike infection cases, stifling or at least slowing economic recovery. As a result, China seems to be the only major economy that could help its four partners reverse their pandemic-induced recessions. In addition to being able to buy huge quantities of resources, China is able and willing to invest trillions of dollars in Russia, India, Brazil, and South Africa through the Belt and Road Initiative. Meanwhile, China, being one of the countries having three vaccines ready for use over the next few months, it would be in a great position to help India and Brazil.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, you choose today's special to listen from IRIB English Radio. Salamu alaikum and welcome. We are going to speak about the importance of friend in Islam.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine.
Let's look at the calendar. Today's Saturday is the 12th of Rabiul Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of the month of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of Surah Al-Zukhruf, verses 66-67.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. هل ينظرون إلا الساعة أن تأتيهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون.
Are they waiting except for the hour to come upon them suddenly while they perceive not?
الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين.
Close friends that day will be enemies to each other, except for the righteous.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
The day of resurrection shall come all of a sudden, and no one is aware of hour of its occurrence. All friendships, not based on piety and fear of Allah, will turn into enmity. It is natural that such friendships turn into enmity on that day, since earth and every of them reckons the other as the one leading him to misfortune and hopelessness.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have because you gave. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator. My Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver. My defender and my savior, my giver and my taker.
One question on today's special: what does Islam say about friendship? Let's listen. Human beings by nature are social creatures, in need of companions and friends. Most of our lives depend on interactions with others, and man is therefore compelled to live in society and with other individuals. Friendship in Islam is considered one of the divine blessings through which one overcomes loneliness and solitude. Islam has placed tremendous importance on sociability and friendship. In the Quran, great emphasis has been placed on the concept of friendship because maintaining good company plays a pivotal role in shaping the life of the individual, and it influences the path that will be chosen in life. Likewise, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, on different occasions had clearly stated its importance, criteria for choosing a friend, characteristics of a good friend, and the rights of a friend.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about friendship and fraternity. In this connection, it must be indicated that people, as I mean, social beings, social human beings, need to make friends with others. And this making friends with others fulfills several functions. One of them is that since man is a social being, he needs being in connection with others, not for fulfilling his basic needs, or for example, I mean, needs regarding, for example, obtaining food or making shelter and so on. Rather, psychologically, everybody needs to make friends. At times, it has been proved that people find friends and make friends with those people with whom they feel many points to have in common. On the other hand, we find that in the Islamic teachings, friendship and making friends is also stressed. And it's indicated that, for example, in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, "At-tawaddudu nisfu al-aql," making friends and being retaining friendship with others is half of one's intellect.
Hey, all my life, doubting was a part of me. Day and night, I fight my insecurities, asking why, am I, who am I? I just want some peace of mind. And the salam, wa
rights of a friend. One of them is material care. It is incumbent to help the friend who suffers an economic crisis. It is in fact one of the obligatory rights of friendship and one of the proofs of loyalty. Allah in the Holy Quran praises some peoples who showed altruism. For example, in chapter 59, verse 9, Allah says, "They give preference to them over themselves, even concerning the things that they themselves urgently need." Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam once asked one of his close companions, "How do you behave concerning your mutual association and relief?" The man answered, "We are in the best manner in this regard." The Imam asked, "Are you pleased when one of your needy associates come to your shop or house to take that which they need?" The man answered, "No, we aren't." Imam commented, "Now you are not behaving as I want you to do in this regard." Today's special and friendly ways how to choose good friends in Islam. Have the same aqidah, have the same creed. As Muslims, we are recommended to choose a friend who has the same aqidah with us. Aqidah or creed with us. That is intended to avoid disputes that could occur at any time. However, it does not mean that we should not be friends with non-Muslims. Muslims can be friends or have friends with non-Muslims as long as they are not the ones who fight us because of religion and do not bring badness toward us. And in making friends with non-Muslims, we also have to know the boundaries. Obedient on worship. In choosing friends, you must choose an obedient friend of worshiping Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, in order to transmit His obedience toward us.
One of the amazing joys that we have in this life is the gift of friendship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with. Almost no other joy competes with the joy of friendship. Good friends have the capacity to change our lives. They help us with our problems. They give us new perspective on life. They help us with our depression. They can quickly change our attitude. Indeed, our friends enrich our lives. Unfortunately, many people, especially in Western societies, they don't have the pleasure of enjoying this gift, of benefiting from this gift. You know that in the UK, for example, there are 5 million people who say that we don't have true friends. Someone whom we can count on in times of difficulty, in times of hardship. You know what that means? When you don't have a true friend, someone whom you can depend on, do you know what that does to you? These 5 million people, you'll find them depressed. They suffer from depression. Many of them attempt suicide, and actually some of them end up committing suicide. Truly one of the greatest gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is the gift of friendship. However, at the same time, one of the greatest dangers in our lives is what? Friends. Bad friends. Evil friends. Friends who misguide you. Yes, friendship is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this same gift, if misused, if we don't approach it properly, it could be one of the biggest dangers in our life. You know, friends are supposed to give you company, good company. They take you out of your loneliness. But listen to what the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. In a beautiful hadith, he says, awhashul wahsha. What is the worst type of loneliness? What do you think? Solitary confinement in a prison cell? No. That's not the worst type of loneliness according to this hadith. What is it? Not to have family? The Prophet says the worst type of loneliness is qarinu su. An evil friend. A bad friend. Because even though you may think that this friend is giving you company, but in reality this friend will end up ruining your life, leaving you at the end, in the end, lonely, very empty, and depressed. Bad friends eventually will make you feel lonely.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
All praises to Allah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.